WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More job cuts in Washington, this time at the Department of Education. 1,300 positions to be eliminated. Steel and aluminum tariffs going into effect today. As for the overall U.S. economy, President Trump says he's not worried. Here's ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
Trump vowed to make the economy better on day one, but now he says the U.S. is in transition.
Do you think there will be a recession?
I don't see it at all. I think this country is going to boom. But as I said, I can do it the easy way or the hard way. The hard way to do it is exactly what I'm doing, but the results are going to be 20 times greater.
Wall Street gets a new report on inflation today, which could ease concerns or raise more concerns about where the economy is headed.
This morning, Dow futures are up around 220 points. There was a shooting outside the normally crowded Terminal 2 at O'Hare Airport in Chicago overnight. One person's hospitalized and one is being questioned. This is ABC News. An Indiana woman trapped for nearly a week in her wrecked car has been found alive.
41-year-old Brianna Castle was on the way to visit a friend when she fell asleep at the wheel. Her father says she stayed alive by dipping her sweatshirt into the water in that ditch.
And she was using her hoodie and wringing it to get a drink of water, trying to survive. And she was in excruciating pain.
6 long days passed until a man working for a drainage company spotted her car and called his boss, who happens to be the fire chief.
That's ABC's Lana Moise. The NTSB banning most helicopters over the Potomac River around Washington, D.C., following that deadly midair collision between an Army helicopter and a passenger plane. There have been several past near misses as well. The Russian captain of the cargo ship that collided with a U.S.-owned oil tanker off the coast of England remains in U.K. custody. He has been charged with suspicion of manslaughter by gross negligence. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season 2, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bucks against the Pacers. Just over 3 seconds left when Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton makes a clutch three-point shot and draws a foul to win the game. Brian Anderson on TNT.
Pacers down 3. Halliburton's got the ball. Halliburton rises up.
Oh, my goodness. The Bucks lose 115-114. Doc Rivers says nobody covered Halliburton.
He was open the whole play, and we'll have to figure it out because that's a play that should never happen.
So the Bucks have lost three in a row. They host the Lakers tomorrow night. Junior Bridgman has died. He collapsed from a heart attack while speaking at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville. Bridgman played 9 seasons for the Bucks before becoming a billionaire businessman and part owner of the team. John McLaughlin was one of his teammates.
The finest person I've ever known in my life. Just class guy.
Junior Bridgman was 71 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are watching a late week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday. Also, a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, measles making a recurrence in the United States. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us to talk about it. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's a beautiful We got a new act. It's phenomenal.
It's sensational.
It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcasts. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. The mismatch sale is back. Biggest sale of the year at Verlo. Mismatch on the outside. Same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now. Save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up and sleep better. Verlo Mattress of Madison. Verlo.com.
All right.
John Peterson, over to you. And well, we have Savannah Tomei Olson with us this morning to check out some news headlines. Good morning,
Good
Savannah.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey. I'm okay. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I have a really bad cold. Do you want to hear about it?
No, we don't want to hear about it.
You don't want to hear about it?
We've heard enough about it.
All right,
it, John.
All right. Well, I'll cough in the background if I can.
Okay.
Well, Savannah, what's the big story today? Or a couple of big stories.
Yeah.
Now, basically, all I've been working on for the last 24 hours is potential cuts from the Trump administration that impact us here in Madison. So the number one thing is our bus rapid transit line. So the federal government paid for most of this first east-west line. They paid for, I believe, like 70-ish percent of it. Now, simply because everything's kind of in chaos, the city's trying to explore how they can still pull off being able to do their north-south line, which would come from like the Troy Drive area down to Fish Hatchery Road in Fitchburg without relying on that federal funding. They're expecting to get $118 million, and that would cover like 65% of the money. But they basically just don't know what's going to happen. They haven't heard that it's cut,
Okay.
They haven't heard that it's fine either.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So it's a contingency plan, basically.
Yep, exactly.
All right. 'Cause
anything could happen. And then there's also potential cuts to UW, and this is a little more complicated. So the Department of Education sent out letters to 60 universities saying that their pro-Palestine protests on campus last year violated the Civil Rights Act because they failed to protect Jewish students and faculty. And now they're threatening to take away some funding. They're calling it, where's the phrase? They're calling it, I don't see it here, but they said that they could face some sort of penalty or repercussions. At Columbia University, they canceled $400 million worth of federal funding last week for that same reason. So I think all these universities are now on alert, hoping that they don't get a notification like that. But it seems like it may be possible.
That's right. And I don't even know how illegal that is, that they can withhold funding based on what they think the college should or shouldn't do. I don't think they can do that unless they got rid of the Department of Education. And then all the rules go out the door. So I think that's why they're replacing the department.
Well, it sounded like the Department of Education, like today was the day they were going to you know, let go of like half of the people that work there.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And it was a department exclusive rule. So if it went to if college funding and all that, all the assistance went to another department, they would have to come up with new rules. And basically, they don't have any rules at this point. So, they could withhold funding.
That's what's so interesting to watch, right? It's like, how can kind of one either person or a group of people make all these changes without some of the, I think, checks and balances that we've all been told exist, which that's why so many lawsuits have been filed, and a lot of them have been successful, at least temporarily. So that's what I imagine we'll see happening here if any of these cuts go through. But everybody's creating plan B, I think, is the point. And probably plan C too.
Well, that's true. All right.
Well, Savannah, I know you're going to be following up on those stories and many more. We appreciate those headlines.
And have a couple of great days off.
Yeah. Yeah. You've been.
You deserve it.
You've been working so hard for so long. Yes. You deserve a few days off, at least the rest of this week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks. Oh. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Okay, Savannah. Very good.
Have a good morning.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. You too.
That's Savannah Tomei Olson, our news bureau chief here at WMDX.
Let's talk about Social Security. That's on the chopping block. Amazingly, Trump has said they're not touching it unless there's something wrong with it.
Oh.
Unless there's fraud.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was safe, though.
Maybe the whole program is fraud because it's a Ponzi scheme. We heard from Elon, right? Yeah. Well, here's the announcement from Elon about Social Security. This it blew everybody's mind. Let's listen.
I mean, the way it's important in entitlement spending, you know, which is all of the, which is most of the federal spending is entitlements. That's like the big one to eliminate, because that's the sort of half trillion, maybe $600-700 billion a year. That is also a mechanism by which the Democrats attract and retain illegal immigrants by essentially paying them to come here and then turning them into voters.
Yes.
So this is why the Democrats are so upset about the situation, because they're losing. You know, if we turn off this gigantic money magnet for illegal immigrants, then they will leave.
Unbelievable.
And they'll lose voters.
What? You know, that is, honestly, that is the first time I've ever heard that idea before. I have where did he come up with that? That we put Social Security and Medicare in place to attract immigrants to this country to vote for Democrats.
Yeah.
What in God's name? This is the person making all the decisions, cutting all the government departments and firing hundreds of thousands of people. This is the guy in charge who has this kind of state of mind. This is outrageous and ridiculous.
Yeah, really. He has no idea what he's talking about there.
Absolutely no idea.
That's just making stuff up.
So that's a great lead into this, because Representative Mark Elford, he's a Republican. He thinks that Elon is a brainiac. Now, Brainiac is a brilliant alien in the Superman comic books. he says he knows everything about this. Let's listen to this cut from Representative Mark Elford.
If he moves to largely eliminate entitlement programs, are you okay with it?
Look, Elon Musk is a brainiac with an IQ that I cannot even fathom. He is not a master, artful language person like politicians and news anchors. I think when he talks about elimination, I think we're talking about eliminating the waste, abuse, and fraud. And it is true that the Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security make up about 75% of our budget. It's mandatory spending.
They're paid for.
We've got to find the savings there. We will do that. The budget director was speaking to our WHIP team last night in a meeting, and And he pointed out there are savings to be made in the Medicaid program.
That is unbelievable. Oh, all right.
he says it's an he has an IQ I cannot even fathom. Right. What is that saying about himself then? Why are you an elected representative?
Oh, I know.
Good point, Sam. I don't know.
You know, I wrote, when someone mistakenly thinks the other person is a brainiac genius, it doesn't say a lot about them. So, you know. All right, now let's listen to, this is Democratic Governor Martin O'Malley of Maryland, and he has this warning about Social Security. Let's check that out.
Of having our accounts hacked and not protecting it. They're also privy to a lot of data that could be very detrimental to the security of our nation. So we should all be very concerned. They are trying to break this agency in order to turn the public against it so they can privatize it, liquidate it, and steal at least a portion or all of the $2.7 trillion that's in the trust fund. People need to rise up.
Yes, they need to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Indeed.
That is absolutely insane that this is even a possibility at this point. So, we have a phone call.
Yep, phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK, or you can always text us or call us on the Civic Media app, free to download. Dick is on the line this morning with a comment or a question. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Good morning. Did he say maniac or brainiac?
Good question.
Good More point.
Yeah. You know, another thing that went by again yesterday, a little off the subject, sorry, the 51st state thing that he keeps harping on.
Yes, yes.
I got a suggestion. How about a place that's been wanting to be a 51st state and should be for a long time, but Republicans won't touch it, and you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
D.C.
Yeah.
Yes, Washington, D.C.
I think that'd be long before going after a sovereign nation and saying we're going to, you know, just come and take it over. You know, and the Social Security thing is just so out of whack that it's pretty bad when Steve Bannon is on our side, right?
Yes.
I know. That's the test I always conduct. You know, if Bannon is on, if he's speaking the truth and we can believe him, then there's something definitely wrong with our thinking at this point. But, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Did you manage to find the cutout?
Dick, thank you for that phone call.
I did not find it.
Okay, yeah. I just emailed it to you.
Oh, well, why didn't you just do that in the first place?
Well, I was going to, but I thought you could find it on YouTube first. This is how we research the program, folks. I'm sorry. This is the underside. This is how we do it in the back rooms.
Time out. Let me just mention that this portion of the show is brought to you by David J. Frank. Yes, David J. Frank. They are your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years doing lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. You've seen their work at the state capitol here just down the street, also at the UW campus and around Hilldale Mall, all over Madison. In fact, all over southern Wisconsin. They have three branches in Milwaukee, also Madison and Kenosha. Largest landscape contractor in our part of the state, DavidJFrank.com. That's DavidJFrank.com.
You know, it's Plant Flowers Day. Give them a call today.
It is. That's right. Yes. Call and get some advice.
Now, I think it's a little early to plant flowers.
You think so?
Yeah. We're going to come up with a little bit more on Social Security from Ronald Reagan and a web wisdom from a guy who says, Elon Musk, he's a scam.
He's a scam.
So we'll get more.
And we'll get an update on the weather from our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, right around the corner here on WMDX.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road, plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We recognize the groundbreaking achievements of Elizabeth Bayard. She defied the odds to become the first female journalist in Northeast Wisconsin. It was the mid-1800s. Baird was considered a trusted voice as she wrote about the developing area of the territory known as Green Bay. Her reporting revealed the stories of women and families, offering a fresh perspective in a male-dominated press at that time. Perseverance, passion, and breaking barriers, Baird is a part of Green Bay and Wisconsin history, and a symbol of the progress women continue to make every day. We recognize the powerful women from the past and those who are still writing their own history today. I'm Lisa Hale.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, 92.7, thank you. You know, I always liked that Hawaiian music. You know, I've always requested it here on the program, and Sam keeps me away from it. I think it's Catherine who's blocked him from playing any of my Hawaiian music, but that's okay. You know, it builds up anger, and that's why I get so energized in the morning.
You snuck it in here, huh?
He did.
Sam did.
He did.
Yeah, I snuck a tape in.
Okay. Good.
All right.
21 minutes past the hour. Looks like a beautiful day ahead of us, but let's get the inside on the outside right now with our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, you're the storm.
John.
I am the storm.
John
That's
is
your t-shirt
sick.
This morning.
John is sick. He's got
a cold. Yeah.
And now you've got the sniffles. Is that what I understand?
That's right.
Yeah, I think I've got something, too, this morning. I've just been on the struggle. Sniffles, the sneezing.
We're watching you on YouTube here and Facebook, and you've got your shirt on that says, I am the storm. Mm-hmm. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we've proven now that you can't get a cold via the microphones and conference calls. So
it's contagious? Really? Okay.
All right.
It's possible.
Never mind. All right. I'm hallucinating now. Okay.
Well,
please rein me in.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing it looks nice and clear for the most part here in Madison this morning. So we're in for a lot of sunshine and a little milder today.
Yes. Warming temps.
Yes, yes, yes. All of those good things.
Good.
So a ton of sunshine, like you said, both today and tomorrow. Highs will reach the upper 50s today. Then we're going to spike to the mid-60s tomorrow.
Wow.
And low 70s are still in the forecast for Friday. But Friday's looking a little iffy there.
Maybe storms, huh?
Yes. So we're looking at winds starting to whip. John, you'll love this. Mm. The dew points are going to climb to the low 50s, so it's going to start to feel sticky out there on Friday.
Man, my enemy are the dew points.
Really. You don't like the dew points.
I can't handle dew points at all.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be warm. It's going to be muggy. And then by the evening, we're looking at a line of thunderstorms moving in, which, yes, has the potential to be severe, where it could have some damaging wind gusts with it and some small tornadoes potentially embedded in that line, too. Mm. So this wants to move through after 9. I'm thinking right around midnight it should hit the Madison area, but we'll keep tracking that for you. But just keep an eye out.
All right.
Friday night could be a little dicey out there.
We'll have to get the family together in the stairwell and see if we can't survive this. We'll take a look.
Huddle together in the root
yes,
cellar.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, once we get through the stormy Friday night, then how's the weekend shaping up?
Yeah, so Saturday we're going to have some occasional light rain on and off throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit cooler there. And then as we go into Sunday, our temperatures really drop down to the 30s. And we're actually going to look at some of that rain turning into light snow through the overnight and into early Sunday morning before that system kicks out. Mm-hmm. Your area, not looking at any accumulations, but still slick and slippery conditions are possible Sunday morning.
All right.
But it'll be gone by the afternoon. And then we're on to a nice warm-up trend into next week.
Super.
Okay. Very good.
And by then, you and I will be healthy again, you know?
Yeah, we will be.
Let's hope. All right.
Yes. On the other side of the storm.
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Brittany, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. We appreciate
thank you
it.
Too.
Take care.
Our WMDX meteorologist, Brittany Merlot.
All right. We're talking about Social Security. You have something you
want to say? I was just going to mention in about 10 minutes, we'll be talking to Substack blogger Mike McCabe.
I just saw him walking up.
All right.
Excellent. Okay. All right. We're talking about Social Security. A definite. A word from Elon is that he's getting rid of it.
Really?
They can save a lot of money if they just get rid of Social Security. But Social Security isn't something you can get rid of.
Mm.
We've been putting money into that. But, you know, he does call it a Ponzi scheme. See, that this is a whole thing. And Trump did say if there's fraud going on, then, yes, we're going to do something about Social Security. That's the caveat to that. Okay. So let's listen to Reagan's explanation. Everybody loves Reagan, even Scott Walker. So let's check this out.
Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit.
Yeah. Right.
Social Security is totally funded by the payroll tax levied on employer and employee. If you reduce the outgo of Social Security, that money would not go into the general fund to reduce a deficit. It would go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So Social Security has nothing to do with balancing a budget or erasing or lowering the deficit.
Right now, I want to play something. This is a web wisdom.
Mm.
Find somebody who says something really smart on the internet. You know, you got to look hard for this stuff.
yeah.
And anyway, this guy has it out for Elon, and this is just a wonderful rant. Let's check this out. This is cut 131.
Musk is a weird loser, but is he a scam? Find out on my recurring segment, Is It a Scam? Yep. He's been around Silicon Valley for a long time, first being fired as the CEO of X Bank and then being kicked out as the CEO of PayPal. But he's most known for founding Tesla. And by founding, I mean not founding, investing, kicking out the founders, and then later making a large settlement that allowed him to claim he was the founder. But his true passions are saying things out loud that aren't true and making predictions that don't happen. In 2011, he said we'd be to Mars in 10 years. Then in 2017, he said we'd be there by 2022. He's constantly claimed that we were moments away from full self-driving cars. He also said that by 2020, if you buy a Tesla, it will be able to work during the day without your help as a robo-taxi, going so far as to showing a completely fake app. In 2014, he promised that your car would be able to swap its battery within minutes so that he could get a bunch of government subsidies, numerous tunnel projects, and then ghosted all of the cities he was working with. The only tunnel he did build was in Las Vegas, which he said would be fully autonomous, but instead, it's just a guy in a car will drive you very slowly in traffic. He also later admitted that he made up the Hyperloop promise just to get California to stop working on high-speed rail. He promised that COVID would be over by April 20. 2020, that Twitter would have a billion monthly users by 2023, that Starlink speeds would double by 2021, that solar tiles would be available at some point, and he personally promised to fix the Flint water crisis. But did he do that? Nope. And I know it's possible that he's not actually lying about all of these things. He's just a dumb person. So he's a fake founder who either lies about everything or doesn't understand any of the projects he's working on. But is he a scam? Yep.
There you go.
Wow.
Wasn't that great?
That's quite the list.
Quite a summary, and all true.
And now he's targeted Social Security.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a Ponzi scheme, just like Ron Johnson claims as well. And you know, when it comes to, they call them entitlements as a rip, as a criticism. But you don't think that the rich or wealthy are entitled to tax cuts, do you? You know, just I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
Pondering it, if you will. Oh, man.
Yeah. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. You can also reach us on the Civic Media app.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to ask few very tough questions.
Yes.
You know, I have this thing where the Democrats have to start framing the issues better. Well, we'll talk to Mike McCabe about that.
He's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report right here on WMDX.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
So do farms or nonprofits that have been left in the lurch with unfulfilled contracts from the U.S. Department of Agriculture have any options? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Yes, they do. That's the short answer from Rachel Armstrong. She's an attorney with Farm Commons. Today, she is holding a special virtual seminar to try to give some pointers to farms and nonprofits that are holding contracts with the U.S. Department of Agriculture that have not been financially fulfilled. She said the process is fairly straightforward. Her first suggestion, call the USDA office where the contract originated and try to find out what's going on. She says it's very important that you get these details and responses in writing. And once you've gotten the answer, maybe it's time for an appeal.
That sounds very heavy. We know that that's a legal word, but USDA has something called the National Appeals Division, which is a fairly straightforward process to start an appeal. And it really does involve writing a letter saying, I want to appeal this decision. And the decision can be that you didn't pay my invoice. You know, you clearly seem to have decided not to pay my invoice because nothing has happened. You've, you know, decided not to reimburse me. And I'm going to appeal that process.
Rachel Armstrong, an attorney with Farm Commons, she said they've received a lot of calls from farms and nonprofits trying to figure out what to do next. They've got great resources that they're always updating on their website, farmcommons.org.
Stephens Group has been in the business of marketing farm construction, transportation equipment, and farm real estate at public auction for over 60 years. With locations across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain region, our team is readily equipped to handle any of your auction needs. Sell with confidence, knowing that our team of professionals prioritizes honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit StephensGroup.com to find a representative near you and discuss your options for selling with Stephens today. StephensGroup.com, S-T-E-F-F-E-S Group.com.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And while there might be challenges with USDA grants, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced that 9 projects have received approval for $800,000 in funding to optimize nitrogen use in farm fields. All the details available now at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for now. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are watching a late-week system that could bring some thunderstorms late Friday, rain into Saturday, rain changing to snow late Saturday into Sunday, also a lot of wind. Stay tuned for updates on that. Today, sunny, mid to upper 50s. Tonight, low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with highs in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Still putting off that deep clean? Let HS Pristine Clean take it off your to-do list. With over 20 years of meticulous cleaning experience, they make your home sparkle without the hassle. Call 920-932-0000 today. Why wait?
The Verlo Mismatch Sale is back. It's our biggest sale of the year. Mismatch on the outside, the same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside, and it's backed by our lifetime comfort guarantee. So hurry in now for additional savings on every mattress and box spring. Plus, get huge savings on adjustable bases. And the more you buy, the more you save on accessory bundles. It's our biggest sale of the year. Wake up. Sleep better. Verlo.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Secondhand Omelette Shop, the only diner in town featuring refried eggs. This week only, you can buy two of Ed's famous eggshell omelettes for only half the price of four.
What a deal with you still egg prices.
The egg prices like they are now. That's that Ed, you know. He came up with boxed wine many years ago.
Ed's just amazing.
No one ever gives him credit.
That's right. Welcome back to John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger. They are having their mismatch sale right now. Biggest sale of the year. Mismatch on the outside. Same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now. Save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up. Sleep better. Verlo Mattress of Madison. Just go to verlo.com.
And don't forget to get an adjustable bed frame. Big recommendation. Big thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
Anybody else big thumbs up about adjustable bed frames?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody? I think they're just fantastic.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And be sure to say hi to Maddie the Mattress run into him at the Verlo locations on the east side or west side.
Or him.
Well, that's a great question. I don't know.
Now we'll have to find out.
We'll have to check into that. Okay, time to...
Special guest
this
morning.
Let's move forward, okay?
From Substack, Mike McCabe is our guest, and...
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Let's pick up on a topic we talked about the last time, and it was the white color in our flag.
Mm-hmm. And you're wearing a cap this
morning. You're wearing a white cap this morning.
with a white American
flag on it, and that carries that idea... To its logical end. What do you think about this?
Well, you know, the reason I'm wearing a white cap is because the colors red and blue have basically been turned into symbols of division and polarization.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about red America and blue America, mm-hmm. red states and blue states, and those colors have really been turned into symbols of division, and they're representative of how we've been put at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a way, those colors have become instruments of our own oppression because we've been divided and conquered as a society by those who wish to lord over us.
Right.
And so, you know, it's my own personal protest against that dynamic. And so I choose to wear a white cap, to me it's claiming the one unused color on the American flag that could actually end up being an emblem of that could unify us,
bringing us together.
Yeah. I think white is a combination of all colors, isn't it? Or what?
Or none? I don't know.
Or none? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it looks good on you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like my own personal political fashion statement.
Now, we wanted to follow up on something you had on your blog mm-hmm. Last week. You had a blog about Gandhi.
Well, just published that.
Oh, just
the beginning of this week.
Okay.
Last week I did the one that touched on the flag and the white cap that I'm now wearing. But yeah, I wrote about Gandhi because, he wanted to not only get the Indian people to resist British rule
mm-hmm.
and overthrow British colonization, but to do that, I think Gandhi really wanted to help the Indian people understand what it meant to be free and independent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be free and independent if you're dependent on the British for all the cloth that is used to make your clothing. So he started spinning his own cloth. He started making his own garments, you know, and took the cotton and spun it into thread, and that thread was used to make clothing. That spinning wheel became a symbol of not only resistance to British rule, but it became a symbol of Indian freedom and autonomy and independence from the British. And that symbol became a powerful weapon that brought an empire to its knees. And, you know, it occurs to me that when you think about what Gandhi did in India, which was to overthrow an empire and lead 350 million people to freedom and independence, with a symbol like the spinning wheel, what he really was doing was he was saying, let's not just focus on stopping what we're against, namely British imperialism, but let's focus on starting what we're for. And that is an autonomous and independent India. And that spinning wheel became such a powerful symbol of that. And, you know, what are we trapped in right now as a people here in America? But we're obsessed about trying to stop what we're against. But we're spending almost no time talking about starting what we're for.
Right.
And I think it's so important to do that. We shouldn't just be talking about protecting the VA and Medicaid and Medicare. We should be talking about maybe folding all those three things together, call it AmeriCare, and make every single American eligible for that national health insurance.
That's brilliant.
And we could save billions of dollars through administrative efficiency by not having three agencies administering that, but have one agency administer AmeriCare that would take the VA, Medicaid, Medicare, and make every single American eligible for that health care.
Yeah.
And instead of you know, simply protesting against all these firings that are happening, we should be talking about making sure that every American who puts in an honest day's work makes a living that, you know, can afford housing, can afford food, could afford all the necessities of life. Maybe we should talk about doing away with the minimum wage and replacing it with a living wage guarantee for every American, where if you put in an honest day's work, you will make a living wage in this country. You will be able to afford housing. You will be able to afford all the necessities of life if you put in that honest day's work. And you know, is $7.25 an hour going to get you there? But that's, we've got a minimum wage and we've had it for ages, but we're not talking about imagining something that actually would help today's workers. We are trying to prevent the demolition of the Department of Education. What we're not doing is trying to reimagine public education. So we don't start public education at kindergarten and end it when you earn a high school diploma. We should be talking about public education that starts with high quality child care for every family and ends with at least 2 years of education beyond high school. That's the public education we should imagine. So those are just three examples of where we can think about starting what we are for rather than simply stopping what we're against.
I kind of like the framing that you have there. It's this is the kind of thing that we can imagine. You know, this is what we should have. And I like the framing as well, where you actually repackage what has been out there for a long time. You know, I just think that's a great way to look at all of the things that we want to promote, but repackage it so it sounds fresh and easy to understand. And it's not preachy. We're not telling people what's going on. But I think, you know, it certainly does have some appeal at that point.
Well, you know, what we're seeing on Capitol Hill and across the country is that the Democrats are playing defense.
Right.
But the irony is that effective opposition isn't just playing defense; it's also going on offense.
Right.
It's not about saying we're going to try to block this agenda that's being forced down our throats, but it's about providing an alternative that really ignites the imagination and that makes people think, yes, that's the country that I want to live in. That's what I want to get to. And the best time to start that kind of talk is now.
Yes.
When this agenda is being rammed down our throats, the time to talk about an imaginative alternative is not when you've just retaken Congress and you know then spring all these ideas on people suddenly. No, you need them to seep in, to let people think about it, but you need to ignite the imagination, and that's how you'll get back in power in the first place.
Well, it's amazing because now a lot of people are really receptive to all of this. You've seen the town halls that have backfired on Republicans. Bernie Sanders is taking advantage of it, and other Democrats are going out now in other districts to talk to Republicans and hopefully pass that message along. And I love the framing. We have to do something about your framing on that. I love that. We have to somehow get that word out. We've got to talk to Ben Wickler, okay? Yeah. Let's get him on here.
We're talking with Mike McCabe right now from Substack.
Yeah.
Blogging. And, Mike, are you ready to throw your white cap into the ring there? Yeah.
I've been a candidate before.
I know.
I'm not the party's favorite.
But you might be now. Times have changed.
Yes.
I want to inspire a younger generation of leaders.
Yes.
And I want to do what I can from the platform I have to help create new ideas. I never grew up having a desire to hold public office. It was never on my bucket list to run for office or to hold public office. But I've been involved for decades in trying to make our government function better and be, you know, get regular people in the driver's seat of our government and make our government work well for everybody and not just a few at the very top. And you know, you mentioned Bernie and you know, sadly, Bernie is almost alone out there.
Yeah.
He's gone out there and he's talking about a $17 an hour minimum wage. And I'm talking about getting rid of the idea of a minimum wage at all and talk about a living wage guarantee for every American worker. But I'll give Bernie credit. He is out there talking about Medicare for all. He's talking about a $17 an hour minimum wage. He's talking about not just stopping what the current regime is trying to do, but he's providing a vision for what America can become, and he's almost alone out there. You know, other members of Congress have been very timid. They're delighted that people are coming and breathing fire at these Republican members of Congress who are doing these town halls, and they're kind of delighting in that spectacle. But what they're not doing is taking advantage of the moment to do what Bernie's doing, and that's to lay out an agenda for America's future.
Well, you know, it also occurred to me that a lot of candidates who did run and lost should go back to those districts, like Van Orden's district, and go out there and listen to the people again and make some inroads that way.
Absolutely.
Instead of just having Bernie Sanders out there, you know, a federal type of, I guess, way to advance this and get it local.
Democrats have got to come to terms with the fact that not even a third of Americans approve of them.
Yes.
More than two-thirds of Americans say they don't like Democrats. And so the Democrats have got to come to terms with the fact that they've got a pretty toxic brand right now. They're less popular by a fair margin. They're less popular than Trump, who is unpopular. More people disapprove of him than approve of him. And it's not close.
That's right. Yeah, I think what was that poll that we just saw? 54% disapproval?
54% disapprove of Trump.
And, you know, in his honeymoon, presidents usually have the support of two-thirds, upwards of three-quarters of Americans. They have solid approval because they just got elected. And that honeymoon period is usually a time when they do have the blessing of the American people. And Trump's underwater, even during his honeymoon. Even the first month of his term, he has more people disapproving of him than approving of him. But the Democrats do have to come to terms with the fact that they're even more unpopular. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they haven't offered an imaginative agenda for America's future. They're simply saying, we're against what that guy's trying to do.
We're talking to Substack blogger Mike McCabe. When we come back, we'll talk about how do we fight back against the fire hose of information and talk from the other side and get the message through. We'll talk about that and more with Mike McCabe when we come back.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. On the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, we're examining how the landmark protections that moved forward in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 are now being dismantled by the U.S. Supreme Court's far-right majority. Louisiana versus Calais may be the next blow. What started out as brazen racial gerrymandering in 2022 by the Louisiana legislature has devolved into a new tactic to undo more of the already weakened VRA. Lower courts ordered the legislature to draw new, fairer maps. After initial defiance, it drew two majority-minority congressional districts to allow concentrations of the state's 33% black population to elect the candidate of their choice. In 2024, a group of, quote, non-African-American voters appealed. They claim that the new districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and should be struck down. In 2023's striking down of affirmative action, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas pointed to the Equal Protection Clause, as did Alito in his dissent in Alabama's Milligan racial gerrymandering decision. When oral arguments begin March 24th, all eyes will be on Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who upheld the VRA Section 2 in the Alabama decision, but who also concurred with parts of Thomas's Equal Protection Clause dissent. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. We're broadcasting from Madison, the capital city of Wisconsin, just down the block from the capital, and we're overseeing State Street, which looks really busy. Yep. It's going to be another beautiful, fantastic, warm day today, high around 95.
No, just no. Hallucinating on the cold medicine.
Yeah, right, you're right. Thinking about the Hawaiian music we were playing.
High's in the mid-50s today.
Oh, so.
Close, but yeah.
All right. Now, we're talking about imagining programs that people could benefit
back
through
Mike McCabe.
Yeah,
here,
with Mike McCabe from Substack. And we're talking about that. And you have that fantastic white hat, which, by the way, I am just, you know, I think I'm going to try and order one of those. Now that Gordy's introducing me to hats now, you know, with a testicle festival hat.
Well, which is a camo hat, which
it's a camo hat.
We both got there.
Yeah, that's right. But I think that, you know, this is really a great idea, and I think it's framing. But there's also one thing, and we haven't talked about, and Bernie Sanders actually has this. It's passion. I think when we present a lot of these ideas, we don't have the passion in our voice. It's very meticulous. It's detail-oriented. It's nothing else but, you know, just, well, why don't we do this and this and this? It's not passionate. And as you'll know, the megas on the right are very passionate about everything they talk about.
They certainly are.
And it's all emotion attached. So wouldn't that help also package our message?
Absolutely. If there's no emotion behind your ideas, it means that you don't believe in them very much.
Exactly.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And if you are passionate about ideas, if you really believe that's what's best for the country, you'll get a little stirred up. You'll be emotional about it because you care.
Yeah.
And if you can't muster a little emotion, then people are going to naturally think, do you even care? Do you even really care what's going on in the country? And John, I don't think it's just about framing or messaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about thinking about what our country's needs are right now. And so many of these programs were created at a time when the needs were so very different.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security was created because the poorest segment of society was elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
The poorest Americans were the oldest Americans. Social Security changed that. Today, you know, the poorest segment of society is actually children.
Oh, yes.
America's children are the poorest Americans. The elderly are no longer the poorest in our society. Social Security changed that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Social Security was a huge success. But it doesn't address all of what's going on today.
Yes.
Medicare and Medicaid were put in place because Medicare were, again, for seniors, providing decent health care for the elders among us. And Medicaid, of course, was for the poorest in our society. But there are 50 or 60 or 70 million people who can't access health care at all in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so isn't it time to talk about something, not just Medicare or Medicaid or the VA for those who've served our country abroad in the military, but isn't it time to talk about AmeriCare, where it's like health care for everybody in our country so they've got that basic health security? It's about looking at what is going on today and creating ideas that address the needs that exist today. And if we don't do that, then the demolition experts in the ruling regime will simply keep tearing stuff down and blowing stuff up and breaking things. Because that's what they do really well. They don't know how to build a doggone thing, but they do know how to break things.
Yes, easily.
Yep.
Well, the Democrats need to come up with some human condition stories, some examples, and that are happening right now of people losing their benefits and losing out to what they've counted on just to survive. And but right now it seems like the Democrats are in limbo.
Yeah, you know, and people who are Democratic loyalists probably don't think that it's fathomable that people believe that Democrats are out of touch, but an awful lot of Americans believe that Democrats are out of touch.
They do.
They don't believe they're speaking to the core needs of people today. They're simply trying to protect what was done decades ago or generations ago. They're trying to protect Social Security, protect Medicare, protect Medicaid, protect the VA, but they're not addressing what so many people are struggling with in the here and now. And so they look at that and say, well, these people are out of touch. They don't understand what we're going through out here. And you know, it's not just about framing or messaging. It's about tapping into that frustration and understanding what people are wrestling with, and then offering some ideas that actually address it.
And grassroots too.
Absolutely.
Getting out to the county fairs and the public meetings and the local meetings that are taking place.
Yep.
Starting from scratch, in a way.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think the last Mark Eppler, I was just trying to look it up here, talked about this the dislike for the Democratic Party. I thought maybe it was in that poll, but I'm not sure.
I actually cited the poll numbers in one of my recent Substack articles. It's two or three articles ago. I put a link in there about this poll that had Democratic public approval at 31%. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Marquette poll because it was a national poll.
Okay.
It was about,
they do a national poll too.
Right, but it wasn't Marquette because I know the Marquette poll really well. It was another national poll. I don't know if it was New York Times or which one it was, but I've got the link in one of my Substack articles.
All right.
So if people want to see it, it's mikemccabe.substack.com.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Check it out.
We have to leave it there.
All right.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right.
We left it there too soon.
Yes, we did. Right. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker about the end of the Department of Education and also Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. That'll do it for us. Yep. Stephanie Miller is next. Sean, hope you're feeling better.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So,
you know, drink a lot of
IV.
Liquids, you know.
Yeah, thank you.
Hydration. All right. Have a great day. Talk to you in 22 hours.
It's the John Gordy Show. a new choice.
Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, joining us next time, our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All Conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I'm planning our family vacation and need a pet sitter.
We use a house sitter from Hotel K Pet Sitting. You know, freebellyrubs.com.
Free belly rubs?
Yeah, they're local, dependable, and totally spoil our pets. When we get home, our house is just as it was when we left, and our dogs are happy. And the daily messages with pictures really gives us peace of mind while we're away. For house sitting, cat sitting, and dog walks, it's Hotel K Pet Sitting. Reserve now at freebellyrubs.com. Freebellyrubs.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest job cuts to the federal government are coming from the Department of Education. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Overnight, the Department of Education gutted. More than 1,300 workers told they're being laid off, now cutting the agency roughly in half. Education Secretary Linda McMahon saying those cuts are just the first step.
A snapshot on inflation has just come out this hour from the Commerce Department. It's a little bit lower than most people thought. Dow futures up 539 points because of that. Those numbers will not reflect the tariffs, however, on aluminum and steel products, 25% that were implemented overnight. Investors haven't liked much of what they've seen so far in the stock market. The S&P, which is what most 401ks track, is down 5% overall for the year. Militants wearing vests loaded with explosives have barricaded themselves inside a train in remote southwest Pakistan, holding 250 hostages. Pakistani security forces were able to rescue some. This is ABC News.